This is a podcast from Real Life Sango in Clarksville, Tennessee. Thank you for being a part of our growing online community. We hope that you'll soon be able to join us on a Sunday morning, but in the meantime, you can text prayer request by texting the word prayer to 931-378-6778. And you can make a financial investment by texting any amount to 84321 or going to reallifesango.com/give. Now, enjoy the podcast.
All right. What's up, guys? Oh, my goodness. This is surreal, isn't it? Well, with us today, we have three of the four members of our land search team. Ricky Thomas, who led our team. Luke Baggett, who was our co-leader. Steve Springer. And Mary Poor sends her warmest greetings. And she was terribly sad she couldn't be here today, but had a previous commitment. And this team has represented you, Real Life, has done an amazing job of helping us find this plot of land. And so, Ricky, I think I'm gonna start it off with you and just ask you to tell us a little bit about the process.
List of wants that he thought the property should have. And my first thought was, I know all things are possible with God, but Freddie, that's a long list. And so we started looking, we started searching. There was a lot of driving, there was a lot of praying. And then we sent out over 90 letters to every property owner in the Sango area. And I really believe that because of the letters we sent out, God brought two gentlemen together one morning in a boat fishing, and they began a discussion about the land and that the family would possibly like to sell it to the church. And from that one discussion out in that boat, this is what it has led to.
So amazing. Luke Baggett, what was meaningful to you about the process or this land?
Well, when I think back of Ricky, that was like a year and a half ago, not a year ago, but it's been a long time. When I think back to that first meeting, it seemed like an impossible task. I mean, we went to work immediately, searching property records, searching people, like he said, driving around, and it seemed that there was nothing available. And we had a few meetings on different properties, and there was nothing that just stood out to us. There was property that I liked and they didn't, and vice versa. There was property that could have worked, but there just wasn't a wow factor to it. And for a little while, things went kind of dead with COVID, and we kind of took a little break. And that's when God presented this property to us. And everything just seemed to be wonderful about it. When Freddie and I first met over here, it was literally perfect. I mean, it was just, I think he had already brought Steve to the property. They loved it. I loved it. Ricky came. He loved it. And it was the very first property that we just had a general consensus that, wow, this is perfect for what we need. And I think probably my biggest takeaway has just been watching God throughout this whole entire process, because without him, this would not have been possible at all.
Amen. Amen. The hand of God at work. Luke, thank you. Steve Springer. When we got a contract on the land, we began to do the due diligence. We drilled holes, checked the soil, engineers surveyed it to make sure that this land could suit our purposes. And we found a restriction in the deed from 1964. And the restriction said that this property could be used for residents only. There were other funny restrictions, like no more than 50 chickens and 2 dogs, you know. But what had to happen was kind of extraordinary. What had to happen was the last living heir that sold the property to the Bagwell family, they had to be found, and then they had to agree to terminate the restriction that was in the deed. Well, the Bagwell family got to work, and they found this individual. And they somehow persuaded this individual to sign, to terminate the restriction that was in the deed so that a church could meet here, not just a residence. Well, added on to that, we had to have 11 local neighbors sign to consent to the deed. Now, fortunately, we didn't turn the speakers on before we asked them to sign. But Steve, can you just tell me, did you think that that would happen? And just let us in on your mindset with that process.
Yeah, I don't remember if Freddie told me that news and on the telephone or if it was in a text, but I remember laughing. I didn't have an immediate sense of, oh my, that's an insurmountable hurdle, you know. But I just started laughing because I knew that I was looking back 2 years, 3 years at how this church got started and how I have seen God move every stone that's been in our way to make this happen. And so I guess in my mind I was just saying, Lord, you have said yes all along. And if this is to be, then, you know, this sounds insurmountable, you know, getting 11, 12 people to agree about anything, especially with a bunch of strangers they don't even know. But, Lord, if you've been leading us all the way, then I have faith that you're going to lead us all the way through this. So I never panicked. I thought, Lord, maybe there's another property that you're going to reveal to us after this. I don't know. But there was never a sense of fear or panic because I knew God had led us. But I knew that if that could come to fruition, that God would get the glory. And so I give him the glory today for making this happen. Okay, let's have a conversation with the Bagwells. This is great. You guys, feel, Raymond, jump in that chair there. All right, Sherry, I'm gonna let you talk first in just a moment, and then Sherry. This is a huge privilege to have this wonderful family with us today. And where's Danny Walls? Is Danny here? Danny, would you come on up? I turned my phone off one day, and I went down to the river to pray. And I was just walking, praying, meeting with the Lord. It was a special time. It was a wonderful time. And when I got done, I turned my phone back on, and there was a message from Danny. And Danny was telling me about a conversation that he had just had with Mr. Raymond Bagwell. And that afternoon, I got off the phone with Danny, and I called Mr. Bagwell. And I drove straight to this property, and I got in Mr. Bagwell's car right over here next to the brick house, and we drove all over the land where you're sitting today. Raymond, it's so good to see you, brother.
It's good to be here. We couldn't be any prouder than y'all having this piece of property. My mother and daddy would be tickled to death if they could see this crowd right here today. They really would.
Amen. Raymond, I want to know, I've never asked you this, where'd Danny go? There's Danny. Danny, come on up here. You two guys were fishing that morning, and you guys are in a tractor club together. Yeah. And did you know you were going to ask Danny about the church's land that day?
No, I didn't. And we were fishing. We weren't catching.
So you had not planned on mentioning anything to Danny, but you were there fishing, you weren't catching anything, so you had to strike up some conversation.
And
do you remember what you told Danny or what you asked him that day?
Well, we started talking something, and he brought up the church and the fact that they were looking for a 10-acre piece of property, and I asked him how much, and he said 10 acres, and I said, well, I got just exactly what you need, and it's located just exactly where it needs to be.
Amen.
So he called Amen. You.
And then I met you that day. Yeah, well, you have been a gracious host to connect with us many times, to have many conversations. We had a lot of work to be done. And we're so thankful for you, Raymond, your sister Sandy, your sister Sherry, and your whole family's here. Sherry, would you introduce yourself and introduce your whole family that's here today? And would you tell us a little bit about this property?
Okay. I'm Sherry Bagwell Weaver. This is my niece, Leanne Binkley. My husband, Gary. You met my brother, Raymond. My brother, Tommy. His wife, Jane. Danny's part of the church. My sister, Sandy, sorry that she couldn't be here today. Our great nieces, Abby and Emma, are out in the audience somewhere also. They're a part of Real Life Sango. So we're excited to be here. And I do want to tell you a little bit about this land and about this family that we have been. And I want to start with my parents. My parents met over 80 years ago. Times were much different then. The reason I'm qualifying that is Daddy was 13 years older than Mother. He was her school bus driver her last year in high school. So he let her sit up front near the heater so she wouldn't be cold. So that's how we came to be. But they bought this land in 1964. Now, we lived on Sango Road. We lived down on the other end of Sango Road in a three-room house, six people, no indoor plumbing. So when we moved to this house right up here, we thought we had moved uptown Sango for sure. It was the first house that was built, new home that was built on this end of Sango Road. That house was built by local tradesmen, people who lived here, but also my brothers, my sister, and my father. Everybody worked on the house. Nothing was given. We were poor, so everything was built on the house. And I have to look at my notes because there's so many important things to say. Tommy, Sandra, and Raymond were pretty much grown when we got here. I was a kid, so I played in these fields. They worked in the fields. They still had to pick up hay, work in the tobacco. There were cows back here. At one time, we had goats over there to keep the brush down. There were strawberries planted. Daddy was one of the first people in Montgomery County who had a pick-your-own strawberry patch. So there were strawberries at one time out by the front road, strawberries here, vegetable gardens everywhere. This time of the year, he would have been looking at the weather to see if it was going to frost and were we going to lose the strawberries. Hundreds of gallons of strawberries were picked on the weekends off of this land. One of the other things Daddy did was he had an honor system for vegetables. He sold corn, he sold tomatoes, he sold beans. Whatever he had that he raised in the garden, he put out on the table. People came up. There was a toolbox. You took your money. You put your money in, made your own change. So Daddy was important in providing for our family, but also in providing for others in the neighborhood. Before farm to table was cool, Daddy was doing farm to table for us because that's the only way we were going to eat. But what was important about this land, important for us today, is it was about nurturing, about planting things, growing, nurturing, and harvesting. Our mother worked for the school system as a cafeteria manager for years, and she sold Avon. She loved flowers, so she raised flowers, and every time she went to town, she had a vase of flowers for the bank teller or for her friends or for the church. She was always giving away flowers. She was an early Uber driver for her people at Sango United Methodist. Mother was always driving somebody all over the neighborhood to church on Sundays to make sure everybody got to church at Sango. One thing we're especially proud of that our dad did is he was instrumental in 1976 in the establishment of the East Montgomery Volunteer Fire Department on McAdoo Creek Road. So if any of you live in the county and have had to rely on East Montgomery, Daddy helped start that. He retired there. He manned it on many Mondays, fought fires, drove the truck. He retired at the age of 81 as a volunteer fireman, and he was a lieutenant in the Volunteer Fire Department. So we're especially proud of all that they accomplished. They worked really hard to be, as I said, to plant, to grow things, to provide food for our family, but also to provide food for the neighbors. And so we're happy that Real Life Sango will be also be planting, growing, and harvesting on this fertile ground. And we look forward to being a part of it. Thank you to everyone.
You guys give it up for the Bagwell family. Making a way for Real Life Sango to gather here. Let's stand right up here and get a picture. Whoever has the cameras, could you guys come up and just grab a picture with the Bagwell family? One of the things that I loved most that, Sherry, I don't think you said this morning, but is written on the back of your program. is that when your dad would come out here, he would have to pray for the crops. And I just love that. That this property at the very beginning had a man walking over the ground and praying for God's mercy to be on this ground. And so let's just continue on in that. Amen. Amen. One more time, let's give it up for the Bagwell family. Thank you for being here today. If you have a Bible, I want to invite you to open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'm just going to share briefly with you this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I invite our worship team to go ahead and make their way back on up here as I share just a couple of words from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll have some folks leading some prayer, Chuck and Debbie and Tina. So if you guys could go ahead and make your way up here. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I love the imagery that Paul gives. And he gives some imagery about the church. And in this early church in Corinth, the church was arguing about who the best preacher was. And it was an early church. They needed rebuking. They needed instruction. They needed guidance, just like we do. And left to our own ways, we get off track. But God is a gracious God to speak his truth and love to us and get us back on track. And so Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and he says, "What then is Apollos and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth." I've never been so soberly reminded that God gives the growth than over these last couple of months in my illness. Because the living God, who real life came from and who leads real life and who's in charge of real life and who purchased real life with his blood, he didn't need the founding pastor to make this church grow. I was pulling out of the church office parking lot just the other day, and the first week that I started going back to the office, I could only make it a half a day. Until my lungs gave out, I had to go home and rest. And I was observing and seeing some of the most visible fruit in real life Sango when I couldn't even work a whole day. It's just a living parable of what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 3. But listen to what he says here. He who plants, he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. And then verse 9 is the verse that I want you to take with you today. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. I can't tell you how excited I am to be on this field with you today. I mean, it seems like I've been coming over here every couple of days, walking across the land, envisioning this gathering, envisioning a future building. I mean, I absolutely have been tickled. Every time I come over here, I take a picture. As I've talked with you, you guys have asked questions about the land. We've all been super excited about what God has provided. And then when we open up the sacred scriptures, we hear the voice of our Maker, the voice of our Redeemer saying, "You are God's field. You are God's field." And I can't help but to think that the same excitement that we have about this land, this day that we gather on, that God the Father has about us, that he looks upon us and he has dreams and he has visions, just like we have dreams and visions for what we're going to put on this land one day and have all the things that we're dreaming about. I think the Father looks upon us today and he says, "You are my field. And I've got big dreams about what I want to do in your life." I love the questions that have come to me about, do we have an architect yet? No, that's the next step. And, you know, feel free to send me all your architect recommendations. They've already begun to pour in, right? And I can't wait to sit down and begin to envision the worship center and the kids' space and the baby space and the beauty of the sacred building that will be here. But it'll just be brick and mortar. It'll be special to us. But God says, "You are my building. You are my building." And in the same way that we're excited, and some of us, we just can't wait to see the first drawings of the future building that's here, the Lord wants to mold and shape us into the beautiful building that reflects the beauty of Christ and the character of Jesus. And sometimes buildings fall, they need a lot of help. They need a lot of work. They need a full renovation. And maybe you're gathered on this field today and you're hearing the voice of the Lord saying, you are my building. And maybe you need to open up your heart and let the Lord do a full renovation of your life. Maybe the building of your life has not been tended to. Maybe there's cobwebs and there's pipes breaking in the building of your life. Well, make this day the day that you say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to let you come in and renovate my life because I want to be your building. Amen, church? Amen, church. I love you. We are the people of God. The grace of Jesus is available to us today through his Son. And we're going to pray a prayer of dedication. And as we pray, we're going to, let me make sure I'm on track here. We're going to pray a prayer of dedication. We're going to rise to our feet and sing to our Father. So Chuck Colwell, Tina Up Church, and Debbie May are going to pray. You join them and you pray as they pray. Tina, you lead us.
Who is in heaven and who sits high and looks low, who is worthy of all of our praise, Father God. Lord, I thank you. You are an amazing God. You are matchless. You are holy. You are a God of possibilities. There's nothing that you cannot do. Father God, you are mighty, gracious God. And I just thank you, thank you, thank you for this opportunity to be here. And I just worship you, Father. Let us all worship you. Let all that we say worship you, Father. And that you open our eyes, give us eyes to see what you're doing, Father God, and who you are, this amazing opportunity that you brought about in such a short time, Father God, and just moving through this community. You are a great, great God, and I thank you.
Gracious and merciful God, Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be on this ground today. God, each Sunday we gather to worship and to praise your holy name. And Lord, we're filled up with your goodness and your light. And Lord, we're renewed. But Father, when we leave here, we fall short in so many ways. Father, your word tells us that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But that if we confess, our God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Today, Father, we confess that we're easily influenced by the temptations of this world, that we fall prey to so many sins. We are broken people, God. But, Father, thank you for being the good shepherd who brings us back. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for the work that you're doing here. I pray, God, that you would transform us, that you would transform the lives of the generations to come that will come through the church here, Lord, and pray that we would continue to be a multiplying movement, that others would come to know you, that you would transform us into the image of your Son, and it's in his name we pray.
Father God, we come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here and now. First and foremost, we dedicate the soils of our own hearts. And as in the words of the old hymn, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. You are the potter, we are the clay. Mold us and make us after thy will, while we are waiting, yielded and still. And now for the dedication of this land that you have so graciously bestowed upon us and entrusted into our care. You have given both the vision and now for the provision in the days and years to come at 3575 Sango Road on this 11th day of April in the year 2021. Your will be done on this piece of earth just as it is in heaven. We thank you for manifestations of your glory and for signs and wonders following. We thank you that as you are lifted up, all men will be drawn to you. The world will be changed for all eternity. Because of the love of God that will be shared, not just by leadership, but by each and every one of us. As we are filled up, we shall be poured out into our communities and to the uttermost parts of the earth from this very land given by God himself. We thank you for giving your angels charge over this land to keep it in all its ways, according to Psalm 91. And we remain confident of this. We will see the goodness and the favor of the Lord in the land of the living, according to Psalm 27. And lastly, we thank you for every foot that steps on this property, from the youngest to the oldest. As they come and as they go, they'll know beyond the shadow of a doubt that surely the presence of the Lord is here, both now and forevermore. And now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, to him be glory in the church and for all generations. And it's in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.
Thank you for listening. We trust that God is stirring something fresh in your heart today. We hope to see you on a Sunday very soon. Keep it real, keep it Jesus.